Think how different America's cartoon universe would be if not for the man of a thousand voices, Mel Blanc. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, Sylvester and Tweety, Porky Pig, Barney Rubble. Heck, he was even the voice of Jack Benny's Maxwell. Virtually everyone has heard Mel's voice characterizations.
Well, I ad-lib a lot. Maybe that helps a lot. You know, they will tell me to do a voice. They will write out a script for me to do, and I will read the part, and I'll say, hey, this isn't the way Bugs Bunny would say it. And they'd say, well, how would he say it? And I fill in the same space by saying,
well, he would let you know that he's a real little stinker, and he doesn't do anything too good for anybody, but he can take a barrel from a gun and that's pointed at him and turn it around and point it at the guy that's going to shoot it. And people would like to do that, but they don't have guts enough to do it. You stinker.
Mel Blanc, it seemed, could create a new, unique, and memorable voice almost at will.
Were you ever asked to do a voice and you said no and somebody else went ahead and made that voice famous?
I can't think of any. You know, I don't like to copy anybody. But many people will copy me and then or do some crazy voices. But nobody ever tried to steal anything from me.
I mean, you were not offered Fred Flintstone before Alan Reed got it.
No. But the reason they wanted me to do this, this guy that did Art Carney, you know?
Mm.
I said, no, I won't copy Art, but I'll do the same characteristics and the same thing he does, but in a different voice. They said, how would you say it?
I said, I talk like Barney Rubble actually talks and lives next door to Fred Flintstone.
With a slow laugh at the end, and they went for that. So that's just an idea of one of the my little characters that I create a voice for. And this has happened with almost everything I do. I don't like to copy. To me, copying is like stealing. And there's a million thieves in this world.
In our 1988 interview, I asked him how he got started.
Were you the class clown? When did you discover you could do voices?
Well, I wasn't the class clown. I was very sedate. I was lousy in school, but I never was the clown. But I used to see the kids at assemblies, you know, and before they'd go in, I'd stop and I'd tell them a little dialect story. I was featuring all the different dialects. And the kids would laugh and get a big kick out of it and applaud me, you know. And then we'd go into the assembly, whatever it was. And once in a while, the kids would say, why don't you have Mel do one of his dialect stories? So I would do it, and the kids would laugh, and the teachers would laugh, and then give me lousy marks.
But for all his cartoon voice work, this very talented actor was seldom seen on camera as himself.
Was it ever frustrating for you that you did not get more on-camera work?
It was until I did a... Nobody knew who the hell I was. This is the truth. And once in a while I would do the Bugs Bunny voice and say, oh, that's Bugs Bunny, you know. But they never knew my name or who I was until I did a commercial for American Express. In that commercial, I did two or three of the voices. And then I said, I'm really Mel Blanc. And this is just a little impression of what I the voices that I do. Well, after that, I couldn't walk down the street unless somebody came up to me and said, hey, Mel, you got your American Express card.
Now, there's a reason that I couldn't ask Mel Blanc to say certain things during our interview.
Early on, Warner Brothers copyrighted the characters' voices. In other words, their phrases that you cannot now say for me in their voices that made them famous.
Yeah, that is very true. You know, they wanted to say that they not only copyrighted it, but they trademarked it. And I knew that they were doing that, but I couldn't say anything about it because I wanted to keep working for him, you know. I knew that if they copyrighted and trademarked the thing, that they would have to call on me to do it. So I didn't say anything about it, but everybody says that's the biggest mistake I ever made. Any saying that made him famous, like What's Up, Doc, or That's All, Folks, and so on.
It must be frustrating, because I'm sure that for kids especially, those are the phrases that they want to hear.
Oh, sure. They love them. But, you know, when I create a voice, I always try to make it for all ages. And, like, Tweety was a little baby bird. I had to give him a baby voice.
Ooh, I thought I saw a pussy cat.
And Sylvester was a big sloppy cat. I had to give him a floppy voice. Incidentally, that's the easiest one to do. I do my street voice with a spray on it.
Now, the hardest one to do is Yosemite Sam. That's...
Well, it's not only the hardest, but it's the toughest on my throat. Because when they showed me this character, and they said he's only 2 feet tall, he's a cowboy, he's got a red mustache, and he packs a couple of guns on him, and we have to make him noticeable on the screen because he's so small. So they said they give us a voice that'll make him noticeable. So I thought of one thing that I could give him, and I gave it to him. My name's Yosemite Sam, Rufus Duffer's cowboy that ever shot a gumdrop.
But even if he had to avoid certain phrases, Mel Blanc never could resist the inevitable requests from fans.
Does it bother you when people come up to you at a party or at a social setting or at the grocery store and say, hey, do voices for... Is that sort of like asking the accountant on his day off to do your taxes for you?
No, it's worse than that, because I love to do it. You know, they come up to me and say, hey, Mel, can you do a Porky Pig? And I'll say, please, not now. I'm busy. I'm buying stuff. A lot of people stop me and say, hey, do this and do that, and I'm glad to accommodate them.
Less than a year after our interview, Mel Blanc died at the age of 81, taking with him those hundreds of voices that many of us grew up with. I'm Bill Thompson. Now I've heard everything.